Gettysburg Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast. Conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more. With voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Welcome to the Seminary Explores. My name is Nelson Strobert, and today my guest is Pastor Elise Brown, who is pastor of Advent Lutheran Church in New York City, Manhattan. But for our purposes, she is the pastor in residence for the fall 2014. Welcome to the Seminary Explorers.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. But for our listening audience, I'd like you to share or define what is the pastor in residence program.
Well, my understanding is that I think they actually call it the Minister in Residence Program, because they've
right.
had some people, I think, in the role that have been diaconal ministers
right.
in other ministry settings. But it's a Minister in Residence Program to help expose students
mm-hmm.
to somebody who's serving somewhere in the world, to attend some of the classes, to teach some of the classes, to engage students and faculty around what it is to be doing ministry actually in the world today. So I preached on Monday, I will preach on Friday, presided on Wednesday, and have been either a participant in or teacher in six classes during the course of the week.
Okay, so this is not a vacation time.
No, it is not a vacation time. It's full and wonderful. So it's been a wonderful week.
And what classes have you been able to attend?
I attended the Preaching for Catechesis class.
Mm-hmm.
I attended and taught the Church and Worship class.
Mm-hmm.
The Ethnographies of Faith. I guess it's called Ethnographies Places of Faith course,
mm-hmm.
which was a Tuesday afternoon course.
Mm-hmm.
Ethics yesterday. I attended the senior seminar with President Cooper White
oh.
and helped with a lead part of that with a congregational systems topic.
Mm-hmm.
And then today, intro to preaching just this morning.
Oh, it is a full week.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And in a sense, a full range of the theological classes, offerings, and studies that are here at the seminary.
Yes, and most of them are really filled with students who are going into congregational work.
Oh, okay.
So the ethics class was, we talked about various social issues that are really alive in American society that impact the congregation and
mm-hmm.
how a congregation enters into discernment together in dialogue over pressing social issues, which can be where people can have many different minds about them.
Okay, yeah. And as you're going about campus and listening to students in classes, as well as just walking around the community in general, what do you see as some of the issues that have emerged for you or that you heard resonate with students and perhaps staff as well?
I think students here are very eager to learn. They're asking a lot of really good questions about serving the church at a time when American culture has changed significantly around things like denominationalism,
mm-hmm.
affiliation with mainline Protestantism in this
mm-hmm.
country.
Mm-hmm.
They are aware that there are a lot of congregations across the church that are smaller than they were at one time, but are vibrant places of faith
mm-hmm.
and community.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to know how to productively and effectively lead in contexts that may have experienced pretty significant change. They're interested in outreach. Interesting, most of the classes I've been part of, even if the topic has started out in one way,
right.
it seems to have moved towards questions of mission and outreach and how to engage communities and how to draw in newcomers. And so there's been a lot of questions about sort of evangelical witness,
yeah.
which has been encouraging for me to hear while I've been here this week.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yes.
And in a sense, and going back to my seminary days, that was not one of the emphases
yes.
That was there. It was perhaps being the resident theologian
mm-hmm.
in the congregation. But here you say there's a shift into this missional leadership.
Yeah, and also the awareness that people coming to the church today may not have a church background. They may not know some of the core elements of the faith. They might not have any real exposure to the Bible, for example. So the way in which we reach out to individuals like that, the sermons, for example, the way the liturgy is crafted, they seem to be aware of the fact that it's a day when we need to be very conscious of helping move those people sort of into greater knowledge of awareness of the church, and then most importantly to faith formation.
Exactly, and which means that because people come, they don't know the language of the community, and to be able to enculturate them into this communal life.
Right, right.
But from their level of understanding.
Right.
And that's a real challenge.
It is. It's a challenge because it really, you know, it draws into question all of the assumptions that we might make. Like,
exactly.
For example, the assumption that people are baptized.
Right.
When they come and visit our churches, that people understand what the Eucharist is, mm-hmm. as they receive this Eucharist. Just some of the assumptions that have been in place. The students here at Gettysburg seem to know or seem to be aware of the fact that we have to be careful about the assumptions that are made.
Yeah, which is very, very good to know.
Yes, yes.
In the beginning years, but particularly as one leaves.
Yes.
As one leaves.
Mm-hmm.
May I ask, have you been able to talk to any of the seniors in particular?
Yes, I had a class. I've had a couple classes, actually, that have been mainly seniors.
Oh.
They're all very anxious about the future. There are many of them are going through approval right now and will be assigned in the early part of next year. And interestingly also, there are many who are willing to go anywhere, which is somewhat, you know, reminiscent of how things used to be in the church, you know, that when you felt the call to ministry in the church, that you understood that you were moving into a ministry to the whole church.
Right, right.
And that wherever God needed you,
exactly.
or, you know, wherever God might call you, that you would go. And there is something very refreshing about, you know, hearing people say that I will go wherever God calls me.
Yeah.
I'm open to the power of the Spirit.
Which is really good.
And that we're not in control.
Right.
The Spirit is really the one who does this work.
Exactly. And I think that becomes a transformation as students enter and when they leave, you know, to know what the process is, but so to grow in that calling.
Yes.
Is so necessary, because when one is out, one completes one's studies, or after the first call, you just don't know where you're going to go,
where
the Spirit has called you to.
Yes.
And that's, as you look at parish ministry, you've spent your ministerial years in the parish, I believe.
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for our listening audience, where have you served?
My first call was in the Bronx, New York. And then the call where I serve now, which is my second call, is in Manhattan, in New York. So I come from Iowa. I was born and raised in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to Union Seminary in New York. And after I finished my internship year in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and my Lutheran year in Chicago, when I went through the assignment process, I was assigned back to Region 7.
Oh, okay.
And then was taken by Metro New York Synod, and that is where I have served ever since.
Okay. Well, in the New York context, and you're at Advent Lutheran.
Yes.
Yeah, which I'm familiar with.
Was, yes, you know, 93rd terms, and Broadway.
Indeed. What are some of the concerns of your parishioners and the community in which you serve?
Well, I serve a congregation that's about 120 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've learned quickly that here in Gettysburg, that's young. There's a lot of much older congregations in this part of the church, and there are certainly this seminary itself is so historic. But, you know, in New York, that's an old congregation. It's been mm-hmm. in the same community that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And the neighborhood around it has completely changed over and over and over and over again. So the congregation, really the whole foundation of the congregation is one of change. Since the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
You know, not long after they built the building and put in all the beautiful Tiffany windows in the sanctuary, they were confronted with World War I. Where a big portion of the congregation, you know, was called up to serve, and Then the Great Depression followed, and then World War II, where our congregation had 84 people who went to serve during that period of time. So as I've looked over and I've studied the history of the congregation, it has always been one of change, always. There really was never a time that I would even say those were the glory days of this congregation or those were stable times. And that was both a combination of the dynamics of the neighborhood, but also the dynamics of the country.
Right.
Civil rights era was very strong in the civil rights movement, very strong in New York City. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a centerpiece for a lot of the work of the civil rights movement in New York. And then, of course, the Vietnam era. You know, so all of these things have really contributed to this congregation being in a constant state of change, really.
Right, very much so.
And it still is. This is a congregation that the neighborhood around the church has been gentrifying now for a while. All of the Upper West Side is... Mm-hmm. And yet there are still significant housing projects that exist in our communities that are there to stay.
Right.
And there are still a fairly large immigrant population moving into the community on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. And so we find ourselves sort of, you know, serving as a bridge in some ways for these very different populations. Our congregation has within it some very wealthy people, mm-hmm. homeless people, together in the same congregation. The other Sunday, I saw one of our most sort of well-resourced members having a really deep conversation with one of our homeless people after church on Sunday, and I was so struck by that scene because it was like, this is really what the body of Christ is really meant to be, you know,
yeah.
Not just a place where we, you know, minister to those who are in need, but that we work together.
Yeah, and they're engaged with each other.
That's right, yeah, without that sense of distance or the arm's length approach that we often want to take, you know, for people that are in need. So New York City is a changing community. There's always people moving in. There's always people moving out. So we have to sort of keep up with that trend. We work really hard on outreach and constantly trying to bring in new members to the congregation because every year we know that a certain number of people will move and a certain influx will come.
Right.
And we just always are doing the outreach constantly.
And may I ask, how do you go about doing that outreach in a city that is always changing? What types of methods, what strategies has the congregation been involved with?
Well, we have three services on Sunday, and the third one's in Spanish.
Ah, okay.
That has helped us to, I mean, we do a 9 o'clock service on Sunday morning, which there aren't many such services in New York City that, you know, New York City is not an early rising place.
I can identify with that.
I know you can. But there are people, believe it or not, for whom a 9 o'clock service on Sunday is a welcome thing because they have small children.
Right, that's
they have
true.
Babies. They have to go to work after they come to church. A lot of people in New York work, you know, weekends, et cetera. So that's helped us to grow in terms of outreach. We also have a very, very outstanding music program that we've worked hard to develop over the course of these years. We have four musicians who work as a team, and they're all very different from each other. They're very diverse in what their kind of musical expertise is.
I looked at the website.
Yeah, and they're phenomenal. It's a phenomenal team of individuals, and that is also, that's really drawn a very solid group of people.
Okay.
We have a very strong Sunday school and youth program, and we have a very strong confirmation program.
Okay, could you? With education being my area of interest and theological interest, how do you have that strong educational component in a time when many Sunday schools are struggling?
We just keep on working at it. I mean, you know, we don't. It's not. It is a constant challenge, and it's a constant area of emphasis for our congregation. We take education very seriously, and we started that shift about, you know, I mean, when I first came to the congregation, the Sunday school met, this very small little Sunday school met during the service. There was one service, Sunday school met during the service, this small little group of kids. And after I'd been there for 5 years, we actually moved the Sunday school hour earlier.
Okay.
We started the earlier service, And what that did was it sort of opened up new possibilities for outreach to families, and it moved the Sunday school out of worship time, which is a commitment that we made together. And we've really just, you know, we've retained Vacation Bible School in the middle of the city. We've retained youth group. We've retained conference. In some ways, it's the core traditional elements of a children and youth program of many congregations, but a lot of urban congregations kind of let go of them over the years, and we've brought them back, and we continue to work at them, and we are very committed to retaining them.
That is really helpful.
So we do have families that look for churches in New York, and they look for churches that have children's programs, confirmation programs, et cetera, and they come to us because we have those offerings.
Okay. That's saying a lot in terms of the urban, but in terms of church life in general in these United States.
Yes.
You know, as you are immersed in the church and within the congregation and within theological education, because you are a chair of the board of one of our seminaries.
Yes, I am.
What do you see as the some of the challenges for theological education?
Well, so I'm chair of the board at Philadelphia Seminary, and we have seen a great challenge in a decreased enrollment across the whole system.
Right.
It's not just unique to Gettysburg Seminary or Philadelphia Seminary. It's across the whole system. So one of our challenges is to not only look at ways that we can strengthen enrollment in the traditional programs that we have offers, which Gettysburg Seminary, Philadelphia Seminary has, that we have incredible course offerings.
Exactly.
Incredibly strong faculty in both these places. But also to make these places centers of theological education for everyone. Where
flesh out that everyone.
Well, so you know, where a pastor is in a congregation who hopefully will have some continuing education, but may not have a lot of money in that line. That the first place they would think of when they're trying to figure out where they're going to do some continuing education would be the seminaries. That we would offer things at the seminaries for pastors and for other congregational leaders that would really draw them. Things, you know, topics and speakers and ideas that would really, that a pastor would look at that and say, gosh, you know, I have a busy schedule. I don't have a lot of time. But this is something that I want to go to. This is an offering that's really for me, that will help me in my ministry setting where I am today. We really want the seminaries to sort of be the locus of theological work and, you know, the evolving nature of congregational ministry in the United States and the sort of changing culture and the way congregations are engaging a changing culture. But the same is true for the laity. You know, that when lay people are interested in learning more about stewardship programs or about outreach, about mission, about social ministry, that the first place that they would think of to go for training would be the seminaries.
Okay.
And I think together we can really help create that kind of those kinds of spaces that would be available for all people and for the community.
Yeah.
Oh, not just for Lutherans.
Yeah, very good. Indeed. And I'm going to press you just a little bit more and ask you, what do you see as the challenges for the ELCA as we embark in these next few years?
Well, it's a time in our whole church to be looking at new models for everything. I mean, new models for congregational life, new models for pastoral leadership, new models for theological education, new models for ways of working together more effectively, more collaborative spirit. You know, collaboration has not been a strong point of our tradition. And that's something that all of us really need to look at, think about, and work on. Because we are so much stronger together than we are broken up into these different, you know, groups and areas, and whether they be regional areas or whatever. But what we find is that, you know, a couple of years ago in my congregation, we took on the theme of no fear, no failure. And the reason why we did that was because we needed to be able to take risks to try some new things, to be courageous and bold. And if something didn't work, oh well, that's okay. It's not a failure. But the moment that we stop taking risks and we stop and we're afraid to take steps in a new area, we've sort of lost our way.
Right. You stop living and thriving.
Today in the preaching class, one of the students preached a sermon on the calling of the disciples, and he made the point that those fishermen, they dropped their nets in the water. You know, they didn't drop them on the shore saying, well, you know what, if it doesn't work out, I can go back and grab baits. You know, they dropped them in the water because they were really taking this huge risk and moving forward boldly into this completely unknown territory. And the human default is to go back to what's comfortable.
Exactly.
And what's familiar. But that's not the gospel call. The gospel call has always been that we go beyond that which is comfortable, and Jesus challenges us to move forward in whole new ways. That, to me, is the greatest challenge for our ELCA.
Okay. I can't believe that our time is up already.
Thank you for this opportunity.
But you certainly have challenged our listening audience and me as we look at the church and the church life and life in our theological seminaries.
Yes.
Yeah. My guest today has been Pastor Lise Brown, who is the minister in residence at Lutheran Theological Seminary at Gettysburg, and we've been talking about her week and her involvement here at Gettysburg Seminary. For the Seminary Explorers, this is Nelson Strobert. Good day.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explorers from historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of Gettysburg Seminary. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.